So this is the last in our Lent teaching series, where we've looked at doing Lent generously and our response and responsibility towards God and each other and the wider society. So as we've explored Romans 12 in the Bible, Dave has brought the first verse and talked about being a living sacrifice, if you remember, doing the okey-cokey and putting our whole selves in, which is another way of looking at our devotion to God. I can't honestly say I've ever done the okey-cokey with God, I don't think, anyway, but there's another way of doing it, maybe. Thank you, Dave, for that. Steve talked about serving others. Colin talked about giving our best despite our feelings, and actually he did talk about forgiveness. We're going to look at that even more deeply today. And Kerry last week, our wonderful Kerry, who talked about going beyond expectations in our sincere love for each other. So today, we're talking about giving our best when it hurts, which is, and get ready for it, this is not easy, leaving justice in the hands of our righteous God and following Jesus' example by showing love and extending forgiveness to those who don't deserve it. So I'm just going to read this lovely intro about the book of Romans as an encouragement to you. So if you haven't been reading these verses, the whole book is an amazing book. I really recommend it to you. So if you are looking for something in your reading plan or something to delve into, this is a great book to read and to allow God to do some wonderful things in your heart as you journey through. So this is just a little summary of the book from Brian Simmons, who writes the Passion translations of the Bible. He says, this book, penned by the Apostle Paul and inspired by the Holy Spirit, you'll be stirred, challenged, perhaps even corrected as you read this enlightening letter. Paul's gospel was the gospel of grace and glory. And we've just been singing, actually, haven't we, about his grace and his glory. The love of God is so rich, it leaves our hearts full of heaven. When we believe in Jesus Christ, he pours his Holy Spirit into our hearts until every sense of abandonment leaves us. We become children of God, sons and daughters of glory, who follow the Lamb. That is Jesus. Dave, could you click the next slide for me? Sorry. So let's read this together. This is the set of verses that we're going to look at, but we're actually going to go very specific in a moment. We'll start. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, that's his justice. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, and I'm going to read this now from the Passion Translation, which is in a more modern version. Never hold a grudge or try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. Do your best to live as everybody's friend. Beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge, but leave that to God's righteous justice. For the scripture says, if you don't take justice in your own hands, I will release justice for you, says the Lord. And if your enemy is hungry, buy him lunch. It's a challenge, isn't it? Win him over with kindness. And that's what that's about, kindness. So it's not literal, necessarily. For your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience, and God will reward you with favor. Never let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. So let's go straight to verse 19, remembering that the emphasis is on our response and our responsibility towards our fellow believers and to our brothers and sisters and the wider society. So do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, his justice, his righteous justice. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. He says, don't take justice into your own hands. I will release justice for you. Because of all he is and all that he has done, as described in Romans 1 to 11, before this chapter, you can leave justice in his hands. The invisible God who works in the unseen places. So it's saying, take your hands off and trust him. So just a note, in the next chapter, Romans 13, I just want to address this quickly. 13:1 talks about us all being subject to the governing authorities necessary for security and rehabilitation. So Paul is not saying that wrongdoing isn't punished. As far, you know, it's not comfortable, but he's not saying it's not, you know, that wrongdoing is not punishable by law. So I just want to say that before we go on. So why does Paul urge us to such a hard thing? Well, verses 17 and 18 actually answer this. Be careful what you do. Sorry, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. It is possible, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, so play your part, do all you can, as led by God, to live at peace with everyone. Now that sounds like it's a people-pleasing exercise. It's actually not. Yes, you may please people, but then you may not please people. Rather, it's an opportunity to glorify God, and this is how. It says, God's people are a people of integrity, a people beyond reproach. By doing this, we display God's goodness. We literally shine among them like stars in the sky. But there's a big difference, isn't there, really, between what Paul is instructing here and what we really want to do. And it goes against our natural instinct to offer forgiveness instead of resentment, to offer kindness instead of cruelty, to offer words of encouragement instead of ridicule and backbiting. So to be able to never hold a grudge, to never try to get even, to be able to plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others, to be able to do your best to live as everybody's friend, to be able to not be obsessed with taking revenge, whatever way that may be, and leave vengeance to God's righteous justice, to let go of your deepest desire to take justice into your own hands and let God release justice for you, to be able to win your enemy over with kindness, to never let evil defeat you, but to defeat evil with good. Surely that's too hard. How do we do that? This is tough. Being hurt at whatever level, and that could be the petty things or the serious things, and anything in between, brings very real feelings and temptations. After all, when we're disappointed, wounded, damaged by others, abused, neglected, ignored, betrayed, we're not the guilty party. This is radical. It's radical stuff requiring radical change. Difficult change. Daunting change, even. A change of heart, a change of mind, and a decision to trust the one who has made a way. He, Jesus, was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum, But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gone lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him. Jesus. Here's a quote. Love, not anger, brought Jesus to the cross. Golgotha came as a result of God's great desire to forgive, not his reluctance. Jesus knew that by his vicarious suffering, that's taking on suffering of humanity, taking on the pain, he could actually absorb all the evil of humanity. And so heal it, forgive it, redeem it. Jesus has made a way. The way to freedom. He's made a way to release us from the prison of unforgiveness and bitterness and the things that keep us bound to living our own way instead of God's best. He's made a way to empower us to shine like the stars in the sky, to be salt and light, to be peacemakers, to be the living sacrifice, putting our whole selves in. And he's given us the ability to love each other sincerely, serve each other cheerfully, and forgive each other readily. So testimony is a great way for us to understand his grace and his truth, to see how he works. So if you don't mind, I'm going to share some of my story, which I truly hope will encourage you. I tell this part of my journey as I believe it will demonstrate the power of allowing God to deal with things his way. So I'd been a Christian since my early 20s, but I'd got to a point where it just wasn't working for me. And my mindsets clashed with my understanding of the God I'd encountered in my childhood. And I knew something was wrong, so I prayed this prayer, a dangerous prayer. I want to go deeper, Lord. And it was a dangerous prayer. He'll take you at your word. And he'll always be faithful to the desires he has put in your heart if you're determined to see them through. So one day I was at church and we sat quietly reflecting on the cross. And the revelation that God gave me that day started a journey of tremendous healing. It was difficult to give up the buried pain. From childhood, I had lived rejected. Heartbroken and grieving from something I didn't really know what it was. And there was so much fear, hatred and anger in my family. And my experience of being parented had not been good. I didn't have a good foundation. It seemed that there really was no one to turn to and no one I could trust. When I was 7, something unthinkable, and in the words and the world's terms, unforgivable, happened to me. A neighbour seriously assaulted me sexually, and I buried it all. But I'd asked him what was wrong. So God drew me to a safe place to begin the healing I needed. I learned that my mistrust for adults made it difficult for me to trust him or to embrace him as my father, let alone grasp and live in the promises and the plans he had for me. I'd been damaged and it was clouding everything. And shame kept me from giving my whole self to him. It had made me hide and I was feeling the separation. So he called me again one day in my sitting room, my prayer room, as my family call it, to look at the cross. And as I wrestled with him about the treatment that I had not deserved and the debt that people owed me and my need to take matters into my own hands, he asked me the question, I died for you. Was it enough? And I knew it was time to receive the love that was I was aching for. I knew I had to forgive, for I had been forgiven. He was so gentle, not forcing me, but leading me into prayer for his help. Not taking me anywhere unsafe and showing me all the way that I cannot give something I have not first received myself. So over a number of weeks, one by one, I left those things, many things, at the foot of the cross. Yes, it hurt. I cried many tears. Was it hard to forgive totally? Yes, but easier to do it with him. So much easier with him. He is our strength. He has gone before us. Through his Holy Spirit, our comforter and counselor, our advocate, our standby, our ever-present help in time of need, he empowers us as believers to do what we think is the impossible. And his desire is that we should walk with him all the days of our lives. We are his desire. So through his death on the cross, Jesus made a way. He released me from the prison I'd lived in for so long. He uncovered the dross and he rebuilt my foundations. Towards the end of this healing period, the Lord showed me that I would one day stand in court. I knew what he was asking me to do. I didn't live waiting for that moment. In fact, I'd forgotten all about it. I'd handed it all to him. Forgiveness had disarmed any need for revenge and my own justice. However, a number of years ago, that's exactly what happened. It went to court. There had been another incident with a neighbour who abused me, something much more recent. And so, knowing that God had given me the wisdom and the strength to do what was needed, I stepped forward. This would take courage, great courage, and I would have to trust him for that courage. Total forgiveness had proceeded, and I had no need to see any punishment. In fact, it broke my heart to think that he would be punished. So we sang about mercy and compassion. I understand what mercy and compassion is. My only motivation was that he would no longer be able to hurt any other child. Again, I chose to leave it all in his hands, knowing that I was to play my part and to leave the rest to him. At the time, it was actually the oldest case of its kind. And despite the terrible events, the awfulness of having to give evidence, face my abuser and then go through a retrial, here are some of the comments I received from the police and the courts during the process, who I have to say were absolutely amazing. Your desire to protect others is so selfless and generous. You make no demands. Your statement is sound. We believed you from the start. The jury was unanimous. There was no doubt. And on being given the news of his sentence, this incredible specialist detective, and he was incredible, said to me, I've never heard a response like that. Normally people say, good, or that's not long enough, and they shout and scream at him, demanding a greater sentence. I had broken down in tears of compassion, saying, bless his heart. And I thanked the policeman for the way he had dealt with everything. This is the power of total forgiveness. A forgiveness that we can only access through God, who made a way. The forgiveness that disarms us and sets us free. And this is what it says about us. This is giving our best when it hurts. God's people are a people of integrity, a people beyond reproach. By embracing his strength and wisdom, leaving justice in his hands, we get to display God's goodness. We literally shine among them like stars in the sky, carrying God's goodness wherever we go.